In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is Louisa and Bread, the Food of the Divine Will. We're on page 4, volume 12, 8, 12, 19, 18. Another day, Louisa said, I was feeling sick because of the continuous throwing up that I do. So here we see a little bit of Louisa was always suffering. Her usual state was sickness. And here she is feeling sick because she's continuously throwing up. Okay, why? Because Jesus said to her about this time, I don't want you to eat anything. So then the bishop was saying at this time, you have to eat every day. You're no different than anybody else. So she would obey the bishop and she would eat and then she would throw it up. Okay. And Father Bucci said he was honored to his aunt asked him to bring food to Louisa. And it was a few crackers and a few grapes. And he handed it to her, and she, you know, thanked him, and she ate the crackers, and she ate the grapes. She chewed them all up, and she swallowed them, and then it came right back up. And they were whole crackers, and the grapes were whole and glistening, he said. And he was just astonished that even though she threw it up, she chewed it and swallowed it, it didn't come up that way. It came up as if she never even touched them. And while she was saying to her sweet Jesus, what would you have lost in giving me the grace of not feeling the necessity to take food, such that then I am forced to bring it up? I say this to obey. And my loving Jesus told me, my daughter, what are you saying? Quiet, quiet. Don't say this anymore. You must know. Okay, so this you must know is for us. Why did she do this? Okay, she said, you must know that if Louisa did not need anything, I, God, will let the peoples die of starvation. So we can see that because of Louisa's need, Jesus was gentle on the people. Now, again, you have to remember, this is right after World War One. I mean, you know, thousands were dying, thousands were continuing to die with, you know, the sickness. And he said, if you didn't need anything, then the people would have to be suffering. So what we see is because of what Jesus put Louisa through, he was calmer with the people. Louisa took on herself the sufferings of the people. And so you can imagine if thousands were suffering, Louisa suffered 1,000 times for each person. And so he says, because you need it, since it can serve your necessities, I, God, give the necessary things to creatures for love of you and because of you. So this is the thing that's so important of understanding Louisa. Jesus knew, or God knew, that Adam was going to sin, Adam was going to fail. God knew that he had to come to earth, and he wanted to take his mother, and she would come to earth. And God knew that to have this new life of Jesus, this new life of Mary, there had to be a firstborn. And he knew this would be Louisa. So he doesn't want mankind to continue to live in the fallen state of Adam, but in the abundant life of Jesus, the abundant life of Mary. And this is the life that they gave to Louisa. And he says very, very clearly, he says, you must know this. He says, because you, Louisa, need it, it serves and serves your necessity. I, God, give the necessary things to other creatures because of love of you and because of you, Louisa. So what God is doing is he's already getting ready for the new era. He's getting all ready for the life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary given to mankind because of Louisa. Everything's being prepared because of what Jesus is doing with Louisa. So he says, you have to know this. So he says, therefore, if I, God, listen to you, you would harm the others. If like she said, what would you have lost in giving me the grace of not feeling the necessity to take food and that such that I am forced to bring it up? He says, if I had listened to you, it would have harmed the rest of mankind. Because of Louisa's sufferings, the grace was given to mankind. As a matter of fact, the war ended at this point. On the other hand, by taking food and then bringing it up, you do good to others, and your suffering glorifies me. So here we're beginning to see the fiat of Louisa, always saying yes to God, and even in her doubts and her worries. But it's for us too. You have to understand, if what we're going through is also helping mankind, the little sufferings that we go through is helping everybody else. If we're linked to Louisa, really Louisa's going through this, and we're just helping her by the little that we go through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings that we go through. So what the Lord is trying to show us is that because of Louisa's fiat and doing what God wants and then questioning God, that's really our questions. What happens at that point, Jesus is showing us that he's helping others. So he's helping people in your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, and people that you will never meet in this life. He's helping all these people throughout the world with our little sufferings that we go through. And he says, this suffering glorifies God, he says. So even more, how many times do I see you suffering while you throw up? And since you suffer in my holy divine will, I, God, take that suffering of yours. I, God, multiply that suffering. I, God, divide that suffering for the good of souls, other souls. And pleased, I say to myself, this is the bread of my daughter, which I give for the good of my children. So the sufferings of Louisa are necessary for us. And Jesus is saying that the sufferings that we go through is God's food as well. He says, this is the bread of the little newborns, one with Louisa, which I give for the good of all of God's children. So we have to look at what we go through each day, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings. And what God is asking of us, he asked of Louisa, can you give your fiat to this? Well, you don't understand. When you suffer in the divine will, it's bringing life and light and love to all mankind. And in a similar way, it's the same thing with us. When we go through this, this is what Louisa did. It's going to be for us as well. We glorify God and we help other people. We help other people get into the kingdom. People that couldn't get into the kingdom because of our suffering now can enter into the kingdom. That's the one thing that we have to understand. It's a really a new beginning that God is giving to us in our sufferings. So, volume 12, 3, 9, 19. Have you seen how I want you? Okay, so in our life, okay, Jesus is saying this to Louisa, but he's also saying this to us. Do you see how I want you? The Son that you see is my will, in which my humanity, my holy humanity, was as though within its own center. So he's showing Louisa the Son, and he's showing us the Son. The Son that you see is my will. Okay. He uses the Son to show us the light, the love, the light, life of God. In the divine will, in which my humanity, my holy humanity, was as though within its own center. So the center of the Son of the divine will is Jesus Christ. The book that came out the son of my divine will, is Luisa Picaretta. Again, there's no contradiction here. Why? Once you enter into the divine will, you enter into the true life of Jesus or the true life of Mary. You enter into that son, S-U-N of Jesus, that son, the S-U-N of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is where Luisa is. And he says, have you seen how I, God, want you? I, God, received everything from my most holy divine will. So this is the first thing. We receive everything from the center of the holy divine will. As Jesus said, no other food entered into me. Not even one thought, one word, or one breath entered into me, God, which was nourished by the food, a food extraneous to my most holy divine will. So Jesus is showing us about this food. We saw in the previous paragraph, the suffering is the bread of Luisa. Remember Jesus said to St. Faustina, you must become a living host. And he didn't explain how this was going to happen. In the writings of Luisa, he explains how to become a living host. He says, the Son is the center. Jesus, his holy humanity, is in the center of that Son. Everything that God has is from his holy divine will. No other food, no other nourishment came to God except through his most holy divine will. Not one thought, one word, one breath entered into Jesus, which was nourished by an extraneous food, extraneous to the holy divine will. So what Jesus is showing us is he's asking us to begin to live a life that the saints didn't know about. Okay? Because of Luisa Picaretta, it's a new way of living. Because of little Luisa, the whole world is changed. That's why St. Padre Pio said, the world and church will focus on Luisa Picaretta in the third millennium. Luisa, he says, Luisa Picaretta is a second sun. As the sun goes down in the west, a new sun comes up in the east. No more darkness. This is what God's bringing us to. It's not to fall into sin, again, with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, but to begin to live the true life of Jesus where there is no worry, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity. It's the true life of Mary. This is what God is asking of us. Are you willing to enter into this life? So he says, if you enter into this life, you've got to have a new food that you eat. The food that we have now, that we eat, is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. It's keeping the demons alive. If you're worried, that's demonic. Jesus says, does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. Then he says, stop worrying. Those are the words of Jesus to us. He said it to the apostles, but it's still to us. So when you worry, you keep the demon of worry alive by feeding it worry. Every time you worry, you keep it alive. And it has to be starved. You have to say, no more worry. You're not going to live here any longer. And what happens is you slowly starve worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin out of you. It can't be part of you anymore. That's what the whole gift of the divine will is, to stop living a miserable human life with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, and negativity, and sin. And so Jesus is saying this. He says, it was right that I, God, gave everything back to the divine will. So do I, God, want you. I want you, Luisa, in the center of my most holy divine will, from which you, Luisa, shall take the nourishment of everything. See, it's to enter into God. It's not to participate in anything separate from God. And the human will is filled with misery. I mean, your human will is what you say when you go to confession. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. This is my human misery, and I don't want to live this life. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasion of sin. That's what you say every week at confession. And yet, every week, we go back with the same sins. Why? We haven't broken free from the human misery. We're still living in our human will. So Jesus is saying to Louisa, and he's saying to us, this is what I want from you. I want you to begin to live this abundant life. I want you to be separate from misery. And he says, I want you in the center of my most holy divine will, where I live, where my mother lives, where the Holy Trinity lives. This is where I want you to be. The saints did not enter into this life. The saints, Jesus said, are like a halo around the sun. But Louisa entered into the sun with Jesus and Mary. This is, I want you in the center of my most holy divine will. Now, that's one of the things that we have to get through to really understand. This is not about being good and holy and saintly. That's only part one. Part two is living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Part three is to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. You know, you could put that on your mirror. I want you in the center of my most holy divine will. I want you to take the nourishment of everything that God possesses, as much as you want or as little as you want. See, it's to begin to nourish yourself as Jesus did, as Mary did, while on earth. It's to nourish yourself as Adam did before the fall, with the bread, the first bread, the bread of the divine will. So again, as you read, you're nourishing yourself. As you study, you're nourishing yourself. As you put it into practice, you're nourishing yourself. And so our job is to enter into this life by reading, by studying, and by putting this into practice. He says, beware of taking any other food. You would descend from your divine nobility. See, Adam was, he was the son of God, in the image and likeness of God. And he says, if you eat any other food, you're going to poison yourself. You descend from your divine nobility. You degrade yourself. Like those queens who lower themselves to taking vile and dirty foods, unworthy of them. So our Lord is showing us that there is a new way to feed yourself. And it is to be fed. And look at this. He shows us this by Louisa vomiting, by Louisa saying to Jesus, basically, I don't want to live like this. You don't have to feed me where I have to throw up. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to show you something through this. Now, it's the same thing for us. He's trying to teach us that what Louisa went through, we don't have to go through. Louisa did it. But Jesus is asking us, would you be willing to feed of the first bread, the bread of the divine will? He says, I give you the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. Why? To prepare you for the perennial communion that Adam had before the fall, the perennial communion that Jesus and Mary had while on earth. The perennial communion, delighting in this first bread, entering into the center of God's most holy divine will. So he's saying, when you begin to understand this, you will stop lowering yourself, taking unworthy food, you know, dirty food, rotten food. So Jesus is showing us that we're going to begin to do what he asked St. Faustina, to become a living host, to begin to feed on every time you read in the Book of Heaven, to feed with this this life, this love, this light of God, you know, found in, you know, the hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary, and the Kingdom. You must know book, be attentive book as you read. As you're reading, you're feeding yourself, and you're becoming stronger with this gift. He says, and as you eat this, you must immediately return everything back to me. Okay, so we breathe in and we breathe out. You can't just keep on breathing in. You have to breathe out. It's the way God made us. But we have to understand that what we're breathing in is divine. And it has to be given back to God divinely. So you breathe in the divine will and you breathe out the divine will. You say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. You breathe this in, and then you breathe this out back to yourself. I can give to you what you gave to me divinely, because you're doing it, Lord, not me. So what the Lord is trying to show us is that there's a new way to pray. There's a new way to live. So like when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's not just to read something, but it's to enter into this life of God. To breathe in this divine I love you and breathe out that divine I love you. Jesus breathing in our breathing. In the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future, all mankind is there with you. You're saying to God, I was talking to a lady today. She wants to each day go through one of the commandments and to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything. And she says, I feel God is calling me to do this. And so every day will be a new commandment that she will go over to say to Jesus, I'm sorry for breaking this commandment in the name of every human being, past, present, and future. And I want to prepare this as if it never happened. No one ever did this. See, that's the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. Then you will renew the face of the earth through us. That's our job. That's this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that God is going to do. And he's asking us, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to be with Louisa so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven? And the more that we say yes, the sooner it's going to happen. He says, you must immediately return everything back to me. You breathe in. And you breathe it back out. You can't hold your breath for long. And again, it's to get into this dialogue with God. Get into this, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. This dialogue with God of loving divinely. Not just to read a book in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but to fall in love with Jesus. This is what God is asking. Immediately return everything back to me divinely, because Jesus is doing it. Therefore, you shall do nothing other than take and give. Breathe in, breathe out. Your heart pumps blood in, pumps blood out. You take one step, you take another. Everything that you do is like the waves on the shore. It's Jesus first, I love you, and our I return, I love you. Divinely, not humanly. See, Jesus says that's why he created us. In his image and likeness was so that we can give back to God what is God's, not humanly. See, because of the fall, there was no share in divinity. That's why the priest says, you know, every day at Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ. God wants us to begin to understand that this is the dream of God, and we're just fulfilling that prayer that God wants us to pray. May we share in the divinity of Christ. As Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. So this is a new beginning for mankind. The new era is beginning. And what God is asking of us is, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to say yes? He says, therefore you shall do nothing other than take and give to me. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. In this way, you shall form the enchanting harmony between God and man. And that's what's coming. It's a new beginning. Heaven and earth kiss. Heaven and earth become one. How is this going to happen? Jesus is showing us how this is going to happen. With this entering into the center of God's most holy divine will, be having this food, this divine food, this first bread of the divine will, learning it, putting it into practice. We have here 1:15, 5:2, 1923. Oh, my daughter Louisa, oh, how well your acts done in my divine will harmonize. Why does it harmonize? Because God's doing it. It's perfect harmony. God is doing it. It's not Louisa. It's Louisa saying to God, you reign in me. You do what you want in your image, in your likeness through me. They harmonize with God's, with those of my beloved mama, and one disappears within the other, forming one single act. So here again is this I love you, where we disappear within Jesus and Mary. Remember, it's the braiding. You have three braids, or three. You have Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And as you braid the hair, you don't know which one's which after a while. They disappear one within the other. And it forms one single act, one braid. That's what God wants. He wants us to be so identified with Jesus and Mary through Louisa that when we pray, it's Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And what happens is you don't know which one's which. Do you see what God is doing? One disappears within the other, forming one single act. So God looks at us and he says, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to become one with me, fuse with me in my most holy divine will, one with my mother, fuse with my mom in my holy divine will? Are you willing to do this? And when we say yes, God goes, good, let me see you do it. I want you to disappear within me. I want you to form one single act, one single braid. So again, this is the plan of God. This is what God planned in the beginning. And he knew it wasn't going to be with Adam. He knew he was going to come to earth. He knew his mother was going to come to earth. And he knew that Louisa would be the firstborn in the divine will. He knew Adam was going to fail. And he knew that we would be alive at this time to be one with Louisa. Why? To disappear within each other. Why? To form one single act of God, entering into that prime act of God. So our job is to say, fiat, let it be done as you say. This is what you want. Let it be done as you say. We don't have to try to figure it out. You know, when we try to figure something out, our minds are so limited. It's just fiat. If you want this, God, let it be done as you say. That's Our Lady. The incarnation took place because Our Lady said, how can this be? I want to please God in all things, but I don't know man. How are you going to do this? And God said, it'll be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. That's what we say now with this gift. How do I disappear within you and the Blessed Mother? How do I become one single act between you and the Blessed Mother? It's through Louisa. And you say, let it be done. I want this. Why? Because you, Jesus, want this. This is what you've planned. This is what you desire. So God is looking at us and he's saying, would you allow me to begin to reign in you in a way that I've wanted from the beginning of time? She says very, very clearly, it seems that heaven is on earth and earth is in heaven. That's, again, may your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. And the echo of one in three and of three in one of the Sacrosanct Trinity. Oh, how sweet it sounds to our hearing, how it enraptures us, Triune God, but so much as to capture our holy divine will and bring it from heaven to earth. Do you see why we have Louisa? We have Louisa to enrapture God, to enchant God, capture the divine will, and bring it from heaven to earth, so that there will be no difference between heaven and earth. He says, heaven is now on earth, earth is now in heaven. So why are we alive today? It's to allow God to reign the way he wants to in us, to be in God's image and likeness, so that heaven will come to earth. Earth will come go to heaven. And when my fiat voluntas tua has its fulfillment on earth as it is in heaven, then, Jesus said, shall the complete fulfillment of the second part of our Father occur, and that is, give us this day our daily bread. What does Jesus say? He said, I said, Our Father, in the name of everyone, and I asked you, Heavenly Father, for three kinds of bread every day. First bread, the first bread is of your divine will, or rather, more than bread, because it is bread is necessary for two or three times a day. This one is necessary each moment and in all circumstances. So the first bread is the bread of the divine will. It continuously, every moment of our life. Every moment of our life. Even more, it must not only it must be not only bread, but it's like a balsamic air that brings life, divine life, the circulation of the divine life in mankind, in the creature, in the soul. Father, if this bread of your will is not given, I, Jesus, shall never be able to receive all the fruits of my sacramental life, which is the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, which we ask of you every day. Oh, how my sacramental life feels discomforted, because the bread of your holy divine will does not nourish mankind. On the contrary, it finds the corrupted bread of the human will. Oh, how disgusting the human will is to me. How I shun it. Because even though I go to them, I cannot give them the divine fruits, the divine goods, the divine effects, the divine sanctity, because I do not find our first bread in them. And if I give something, it is only in small portions, according to their disposition. But not all the divine goods which I, God, contain, and my sacramental life is patiently waiting for mankind to take the bread of the supreme will in order to be able to give all the divine good of my sacramental life. So we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen the good of the sacramental life yet. Jesus says we receive this sacramental life to become like him. And that's very far from mankind. Why? Because the first bread of the divine will is not here yet. He says, I do not find the bread in all the goods which I, God, contain, and my sacramental life is patiently waiting for man to take the bread of the supreme will in order to give all the good of my sacramental life. See then how the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, and not only that one, but all the sacraments left to my church and instituted by me, Jesus, shall give all the fruits which they contain and the complete fulfillment when our first bread, the bread of the divine will, the bread of God, is done on earth as it is in heaven. So, we're supposed to receive Jesus and become like him. People receive Holy Communion, they go out in the parking lot and they're out laying on the horns, you know, pushing people out of the way, yelling at their families, you know, being disturbed on Sunday. He says, the reason for all of this is the first bread isn't here yet, the bread of the divine will. Then I asked for three breads, the third bread, material one, how I could say, give us this day our bread. I could do so in view of the fact that as man would do our most holy divine will, that ours would be his, so that the Father would no longer have to give first the bread of his divine will, second, the bread of my sacramental life, and third, the daily bread of the natural life to the illegitimate, usurping, evil children, but I will give it to legitimate and good children who will share in the goods of their Heavenly Father. This is why I have said, give us our bread. And then they shall eat the blessed bread. Everything shall smile around them, and the heaven, the earth shall carry the mark of the harmony of their God, of their Creator. So we see that we haven't seen anything yet. That's the thing. We haven't seen anything yet. What's coming is a new beginning for mankind. And he's going to do this as we learn from the Book of Heaven how to live, how to go back to our divine nobility, how to begin to live a life in God's image and likeness. We haven't learned that yet. This is the most glorious time to be alive. We have the Book of Heaven. He didn't give it to the saints. Why? Because they didn't have Louisa. He's given us Louisa, he's given us the Book of Heaven, and he's really asking us to begin to live this abundant life, to eat this first bread, to nourish ourselves on the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And then it's going to be more than our daily bread. It's going to be a continuous food that we're going to eat. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for a new beginning. They shall eat the bread. They shall smile around. And heaven and earth shall carry the mark and of the harmony of their Creator. That's what's coming. So God is looking at us and he's saying, I've waited 6,000 years to do this. And he's saying to us, you have to be more like my mother. That means the fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say, docile, submissive, surrendered to God as she was, so that I can accomplish what I have planned from the beginning. This is the life that Adam had before the fall. This is the life that I had on earth 2,000 years ago. This is the life my mother had 2,000 years ago on earth. Now I want to give it to all mankind through this little newborn, Luisa Picaretta. You have to understand that it's not anything that the saints even dreamed of. You know, like when you listen to The Dawn of a Mystery, when you listen to Archbishop Piccieri, what does he say? He says, no one in the history of the church has ever explained how the kingdom of God was going to come on earth as it is in heaven. Nobody ever explained, not one saint explained that. He says, this is Luisa's job. And the closer we get to Luisa, the more we begin to understand what God is going, how the Our Father is going to be fulfilled, the sooner the kingdom's coming. Because it's our job. It's our job to link with Luisa, to begin to live this abundant life. After this, I, Jesus, added, forgive us our debts as we forget of our debtors. So charity also shall be perfect. Love shall be perfect. This love of God is going to come on earth. We're going to be in love with God and man, 100%. Once man has eaten the bread of my divine will, as my holy humanity ate it, then shall forgiveness have the mark of heroism as I had on the cross. Father, forgive them. A lot of people, I've heard in numerous places where people have said, you know, I can forgive everybody but this one person. I can't forgive this one person. I will never forget this one person. And my response is, then you can't go to heaven. You go to heaven as much as you hate the person the most on earth. The person that you hate the most on earth is how you hate God. You've got to forgive. You've got to forgive. That heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified, we have to forgive. And if we can't forgive, if it's always there, you're not going to heaven. I'm sorry. You can't go. You might go to purgatory for a long time. To be purged of that every time that person comes up and I will not forgive this person. You got to go to purgatory for every time you said that until it's purged from you, until you can say, I forgive them. And then God can forgive you. That's what Jesus said in the Our Father. He says God will forgive you is exactly the way you forgive others. So again, he says, charity, love will be perfect. This is going to be glorious. We're going to have the forgiveness of Christ crucified. Then shall the virtues be absorbed into my most holy divine will and receive the mark of true heroism of divine virtues. They shall be like many rivulets which shall gush forth from the bosom of the great ocean sea of my most holy divine will. So again, it's to enter into God. It's to possess God. It's to participate in God, in God's image and likeness. If you can't forgive, you're not in God's image or likeness. So I remember saying this to my grandfather. I said, you're never going to see your wife again if you don't forgive. And he goes, what are you talking about? I says, you are very angry with people. You can't forgive them. So, you know, months later, he would be, you know, complaining, and he'd say, and this person, he goes, but I forgive them. because he realized he couldn't go to heaven. And if you can't go to heaven, oh, Lord, you have to forgive. You have to forgive. And if I added, and lead us not into temptation, listen, this is exactly what the Pope said. How could a God ever lead a man into temptation? It was because man is always man, free in himself. And since I, God, never take away from him the right I gave him in creating him, that's free will. And he, frightened and fearful of himself, tacitly cries out and prays without expressing in words, give us the bread of your divine will, that we may reject all temptations and by virtue of this bread, deliver us from every evil. See, it's to begin to live a life. I mean, it's very clear. It's not temptation, but the trial. The in the Latin rite, it was very clear. Lead us not to the final trial. tempting. Why? Because the final trial is going to be so difficult. It's going to be so painful. It's going to be so unbelievable that the, you know, scripture says even the elite would be misled. Jesus was brought to that trial in the desert. Jesus passed it. And when we're faced with, you know, the ultimate of evil, the church has already always taught that don't let us go through that final trial. We might not make it. We might not make that final trial. It's going to be so when and Jesus tells us to Louisa, I'm going to have to release all the demons on the earth. And Louisa says, why? He says, because that's what mankind wants. I have to give them what they want. Let's just look at last night. How many people showed up as living dead? You know, you. This is what you worship. You know, the what you worship is what you want. People dressed up like living dead, dressed up like demons, dressed up like warlocks and witches, dressed up like devils, ghosts. This, you know, you look at the commercials and television and listen to music on the radio, listen, why, you know, the movies, and everything out there is leaning towards the demonic. Jesus says, I have to, as God, give everyone what they want. And what the majority of humanity wants is the demonic. That's the biggest growing religion in the United States. Witchcraft and warlocks and the Satanism. When this happens, when God backs away without support, who is going to be able to fight the demonic? No, you won't. You'll be seduced right in. You'll fall right in under their control. Why? Because most people right now are under the control of the evil one. And it's not Jesus Christ. It's not the Blessed Mother. Their life is surrendered to evil. So what Jesus said to Louisa is, I'm going to have to release all the demonic. And that's the final temptation. That's the final trial. It's going to be so horrific that, you know, it says, what does Jesus say? I don't know who you are. Get away from me, you evildoers. You know, you preached in our towns. I don't know who you are. It's going to be, God has to give everybody what they want. I mean, just think of artificial means of birth control. Think of abortion. Think of lifestyles that are not of God. Drugs, alcohol. God has to give everybody what they want. And that final battle will be horrible. That final battle will be horrible. So our job is to turn back to Jesus 100%. In the name of everyone and everything, like this one woman is saying, she wants to spend each day going through one of the commandments, to kneel in front of the Lord and say, I'm sorry for breaking the first commandment. And then in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, we are pleading with God. God is hearing everybody pray with our voice. Every human being that ever existed is praying with our voice. And this is what Jesus is waiting for. He's really waiting for us to allow him to reign in us. So give us this, give us the bread of your divine will, okay, that we may reject all trials, all temptations. And by virtue of this first bread, the bread of the divine will, deliver us from every evil, so that we don't have to go through this. This is, remember, when the divine will, when that separation comes, when the divine will is given to mankind, the demons will flee from us. Why? Because who's going to be reigning in us but Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve? Through whom? Through the little newborn Louisa Picaretta. They will not want to be around us. But Jesus says there will be very, very few at that time. Very, very few. Because people are finding other things to do, other things to complain and be negative and be upset and be worried, be fearful. It's to enter into this gift by being fully peaceful, joyful, and happy, trusting God, believing in God, hoping in God, having confidence in God. The more that you read, the happier you become. The more that you read, the more that you really begin to live heaven on earth. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.